Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4. Tim's entitled his message this morning, Useful Troubles. James, at the heading of verse 1, says, Testing Your Faith. I was at camp this week, and a speaker said when he was a little boy, his mom used to come home and ask him, Did you run into the devil today? So, and he would say no. And he says, Well, maybe you're going the wrong way. You need to turn and go the other way. You're going along with everybody else. Maybe you need to turn and go the other way so that you'd run into the devil, test your faith, and see where you're at. Verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Thank you, Ron. Good morning, everyone. Good to be back. I know I was here last Sunday, but it seems like I've been gone for a long time. Useful troubles. This thought has kept coming across my mind many times, and I know that in my life, troubles have shaped me. I could look out among you, and I know enough about you that I know you've had some troubles too, right? We've got Rob and the Tuttle family have lost wife and mom very recently, and they're here faithfully. It didn't keep them from going to church, did it? We love them. We loved her. Still do. I got to give her a kiss on the head before she went last Sunday. We have a lot of people that have had divorces. Divorces are sometimes as hard as death. I remember I was preaching in Topeka, Kansas, and when I started at that congregation, I'd been married, maybe 21 years to my wife. We had two daughters that were teenagers, about to graduate high school and go off and get married. And my wife left me. First, she left the church for a year. Then she left me. And then 3 years later, there was a divorce. I felt betrayed. I felt deserted. I felt bad. It was hard for the church. And three times I offered to resign. Each time they said, no, don't do it. About that time we were wanting to build our own Christian camp. We were using the camp of another group of people, and they would always give us the very worst week of the summer, the hottest week to be out in the humidity in the woods, you know. And we said, we need to make our own camp. So we began going through the challenge of making that camp. So during this time period in my life, during that separation between the 22 years and the 25 years, there was, we made three trips. I was really racking my brain to remember where one of them was, but one was Fall Hall Glen, Wisconsin. And we went up there and we checked out the camp design. I was like representing the carpentry side of the church, you know, and we were going to look at the designs and see how they built things. And we made another trip up to, and these were a year apart because these were the annual meeting of the Christian Camp Association. One was Fall Hall Glen, Wisconsin. And the other one I remember very well was Camp Yamhill, Oregon. Maybe some of you have heard of Camp Yamhill, Oregon. It was just off of Portland. Me and Bill Carriger and Smokey McKinney flew into Portland, and then we went up to the camp. Those guys were both doctors, and you know, I was just a preacher and a carpenter, and I used to tell them, look, guys, I normally avoid doctors, but in your case, I'll hang with you and go up there. And so we went up to the camp, and I have a story that I like to tell called Silver Rain. Can you see that up there? God sent silver rain for my soul. Have you ever stood on a charred mountaintop and seen drops of rain falling slowly from the sky, flattening out to the size and shape of and appearance of silver dollars? And I thought I might mess up the story, so I did this for my students in China. They had to do an essay using all the five senses. And I thought, well, you know, this is one of the most spectacular experiences that I've ever had in my life. At this really low point in my life, I really needed something because I was really feeling distressed. I was being slandered, I was being betrayed, and I was really feeling bad. And so we got to Camp Yamhill early. Our flight came in, and there was a few hours before the meeting, and there was this trail that was made mostly by what they call the Roosevelt elk. You all know the Roosevelt elk. He's a little smaller than the other elk. And so I followed the trail to the top of the mountain. So I wrote it down for my students, and I want to read it to you as I wrote it for them. And I wrote it for them so that they could learn how to write using all their five senses. And so here it is. My true story, I gave it to them as an illustration. Their task was to find each example of sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and inner emotion. So you've got the five senses and then how you feel about what you learn. It was a troubling time, a difficult time for me. One day when opportunity presented itself, I followed a game trail that led to the top of the tallest mountain in the area. At the top, the trees had been hit by lightning and burned. The mountain had experienced troubles of its own. The top was now a grass-covered dome with many large rocks and a few charred tree trunks still standing. It was not as beautiful as it had been before the lightning strike, or was it? I climbed the tallest tree trunk. It was at the center. The bark was gone, but it was still firmly rooted in the rocky soil and was big enough to support my weight. Standing on its splintered top, I was twice my normal height. From the vantage point on the tree trunk at the top of the highest mountain in the area, I could see beautiful green mountaintops all around me and wooded valleys below me. The sight was breathtaking, and I will never forget the smell of the pine trees in the clean, damp air. Even though it was a place that normally received a lot of rainfall, that day the sun was shining brightly. I thought to myself, this is one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen. And although I could not imagine how that scene could become more beautiful, it soon did. With the sun still shining brightly, large, flat, raindrops started falling down. It was not the kind of rain you hide from. They were just big, translucent drops, spaced far apart, and seemed to fall more slowly than any other rain I had ever seen before or have ever seen since, as if the flat shape of each big raindrop beautifully delayed its descent. As the big drops floated slowly from the sky to the mountaintop, amazingly, there was not a rain cloud in sight. With the bright sunshine continuing to shine upon them, each drop looked like a shiny silver dollar gently floating down from heaven to earth. There was still beauty on the mountaintop that had been stricken by lightning and burned and scarred with fire and storm. There was still usefulness in the splintered tree trunk. For me, the mountain and the tree trunk was a physical ladder to a heavenly view. I was lifted up to see the spectacular. My troubles, the things that had been painfully reshaping me, had purpose too. It was an unforgettable event. It was an unusual experience for all of my five physical senses to take in. It was an experience of great beauty that touched my heart and my soul and my mind. It was experienced many years ago, but I will never forget its beauty. Through such moments of temporary beauty, God gives us lasting strength. This is for our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength. All those things that we are to love the Lord our God completely with. So there was my essay for my students. I left out one of the five senses. Maybe later you can tell me which one it was if you were listening carefully. But I included the idea that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And just wait upon the Lord and you'll find such experiences as this. And I know you have had many such. Everyone has troubles. It is to be expected in this world. When we get to heaven, there won't be any troubles. But for now, we must expect troubles. Some of life's greatest lessons are learned seeking God in times of trouble. Every trouble has its source and every trouble has its purpose. What is the source of trouble? Where does it come from? What is the purpose of trouble? How can we make it something good? Those are the things that I want to look at in today's lesson. Peter wrote to born-again people, new different people, made different people who were living like aliens in a corrupt world. When I climbed the mountain that day, I felt like an alien, and I stood in a terrain that looked like an alien terrain, all charred and burnt, and found a tree trunk to stand on to look at something beautiful. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary. Don't forget those words, if necessary. Because sometimes we need these troubles. Because these troubles can be very useful. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Rather than letting troubles bring you down to a point where you begin to question God, let troubles build you up to a point where you know that God is always there to take care of you. Where you know that at the end of this life and its troubles, there will be a home for you that you will fly away to when Jesus Christ returns. Let it be known. Let it be remembered. Let it always be on your mind. There's a purpose for these things. These people were born again that Peter talks about, that Peter writes to, because they had obeyed his gospel. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an appeal to God for a clean conscience. And going on to these who were born again, he says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing was happening to you. Some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Exultation, super happiness, really, really happy, great happiness, because, hey, all the troubles are gone and they're never coming back. Amen? If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Sometimes our troubles are of our own invention. Amen. We do things that we shouldn't do. We think things that we shouldn't think. We plan things. We want things. We go after things that have no business in our life as a Christian. And guess what? Those will lead to trouble. But sometimes it's just trouble to live in a world like this and be a Christian. Amen? It's just part of the deal. We're aliens. We are aliens. And James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You have to have these experiences or you will be lacking. So next time you see one of those troubles coming on, embrace it and say, all right, what will I learn from this? And how much will I grow today? And how long? It might take years for you to learn to grow from that trouble you experience, but the end result is salvation with Jesus Christ, your Lord. James 1:12, blessed is a man, I think a woman would fit in here too, amen, who perseveres under trial, maybe even a boy or a girl, amen. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those. Promised. Who promised? The Lord promised. That's a promise. He doesn't break promises. I break promises. He doesn't break promises. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, Paul talks about the troubles. He faced some troubles, didn't he? Jesus told him, you're going to have to face some things. I'm going to give you some challenges. You're going to be reshaped. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He's coming again. I hope that we will all love his appearing. There will be some who seek a place to hide. But we better be loving his appearing. Amen? Troubles are often noticed first in a physical form. It might be a physical illness or a physical need or a physical loss. However, we must realize that we are actually in a spiritual battle. God loves us and wants us to obey and glorify him on this earth and succeed all the way to heaven. God wants us to enjoy heaven with him for eternity. Oh, the devil hates us, wants us to obey and glorify him on this earth and fail all the way to hell. The devil wants us to suffer in hell with him for eternity. He knows he's not going to win, I think, but he just isn't a good loser. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Schemes. He has a plan, amen? The devil is making plans against each one of us today, and we need to be firmly standing against those schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Where there ought to be good, sometimes there's bad. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Don't go out there barefoot. Be prepared. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Does that imply that the evil one has arrows? Does that imply that those arrows would sting? Does that imply that those arrows could burn? Does that imply that those arrows are being shot at you whenever the devil wants to shoot one? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't forget to pray. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, Paul says. But we ought to be praying on each other's behalf too, amen? That utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. It's too late to pray for Paul, amen? Let's pray for each other. That we will open our mouth when the opportunity to share a little piece of Jesus with somebody presents itself. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We all ought to speak. We believe, so therefore we ought to speak. Jesus is Lord. The devil is evil. This world is not our home. We're aliens here. You know, I heard one good thing at camp, well, many good things at camp, but one of the cool things that I heard is that when we help somebody to be won over to Jesus Christ, they have become our ally. They are now on our side, fighting with us. The way we live our life makes a big difference. If we live by the Spirit, loving God's ways, and looking forward to heaven, our troubles can bring glory to God. If we live for today and forget about heaven, we bring trouble on ourselves over and over again. And most of our trouble will just be there to remind us to stop forgetting to live for God. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. All those troubles that we bring upon ourselves, we could avoid and prevent by simply walking by the Spirit and not carrying out the desire of the flesh. It's a big deal. It's a thing for every day. Multiple times a day, we have to fight this battle. Paul uses the word run. He likes sports, I guess, and he's in a place where sports are pretty important. And run includes how we live and how we face challenges. Run includes how we serve. Run includes what we are running from. Run includes what we are running toward. And running includes all the reasons we're running the race in the first place. And as Christians, we have entered into a race. God put us there, whether we like it or not. Hopefully we like it, because it's a race toward heaven. We're dodging the bullets, the arrows of the devil. We're dodging our own temptations. We're dodging the flesh and trying to live for the Spirit. We're running the race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? The cool thing about that, though, is we all get the prize if we finish, right? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave. It's not my job to discipline your body. It's not your job to discipline my body. It's each one of us, to discipline our own selves. I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Of course, if we see each other really messing up, we need to help each other, and that's discipline too. Through His providential help, God has promised us ability and opportunity to run to a safe place, to escape from temptations that lead to troubles. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." If we put God first, we can avoid troubles of our own invention. I know I'm working hard, I'm watching that clock, and I'm thinking, I don't know if Dan's going to get that song in or not, but I appreciate Dan's willingness to recognize that the clock was ticking and that he adjusted. And so I'll try to get done here. Maybe there will be time for Dan's song. I don't know. But you know, the heart is where we need to be holding a treasure, and the treasure needs to be something that came from God, Jesus Christ, the apostles' teaching, the prophets of the first century. All that thing that they built should be working inside of us. The good man out of the good treasure. I think this is a good boy and girl and woman too, right? The good person, the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Funny how the mouth gets involved here, but you know, if you read the book of James, you realize just how much trouble comes from the words we say. Amen. If we put God first, we can successfully face trouble that others bring upon us. If we put God first, we can successfully face trouble others bring upon us and the troubles that come to us ourselves. But he says here, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, that's something that never ends. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, seeking first his kingdom involves taking that step, going down under the water, coming back up to be born again. So you can also be an alien in this world with us. But even for the person who's been baptized into Christ, you need to keep on seeking the kingdom of God. I went with my church family in China up to the edge of the Tibetan plateau, and there was this Buddhist monastery. Now, China doesn't let real Buddhists work much in what they consider the important areas of China. They'll replace them with Mickey Mouse Buddhists. And yet this was one of those strongholds where they hadn't bothered the Buddhists much, and they were doing their real Buddhist thing. And we went into that place, and all around the edge, there were carvings of flowers and beautiful ornate things made of yak butter that was colored different colors. And then also all around the edge, there were little temples made to so many little idols. And we came out of that place, and I grabbed my church family, and I said, "Let's sing." And we started singing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you," singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So we went walking along, singing hallelujah to the Lord after leaving the idol's temple. We didn't let that stuff defile us. We didn't let it make us weaker. We made it make us stronger. God sent silver rain for my soul one day. Like a troubled alien in this world, I stood atop that charred tree trunk, the highest point on life's charred mountain. Looking upon that beautiful valley, I saw silver rain falling, shining, floating. No cloud in its immense blue sky, and all good things are possible with God. We offer you opportunity We're going to stand and sing.